This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, the Miami Dolphins have released Tyreek Hill. They're making a ton of moves. They released Bradley Chubb as well. Is Tua going to be next? Is Tyreek Hill a guy you would like to see in Denver?
He has too much baggage for this airplane.
I would be concerned about that. However, Mile High Report posted ESPN projected trade. I just saw this. Broncos would get wide receiver A.J. Brown and a 2026 fifth round pick in exchange for cornerback Riley Moss, a 2026 second-round pick, a 2027 fifth-round pick. Would you trade Riley Moss? Let's take the picks out of it for now. Trade Riley Moss for A.J. Brown. I mean, you drafted Jahdae Barron, who didn't see a ton of playing time, especially down the stretch. Turns out he was a little banged up. But you drafted that guy for a reason. Would you consider trading Riley Moss?
I would. I mean, I don't want to. I really like Riley Moss. However, I would definitely consider it because Broncos are deep. Broncos are really deep in that area. So I would
for AJ
certainly
Brown?
Consider it.
Is AJ Brown a little too dramatic at times, though? He's not Tyreek Hill. But
he's not Tyreek. Tyreek is too much.
And maybe in the right circumstances with a different coach, a guy like Sean Payton, who strikes me as a little more nonsensical than the Eagles head coach, maybe a different environment would be good for
him. I think so. But the off-the-field issue. I don't want any off-the-field issue. I don't know if A.J. Brown has off-the-field issues, but Tyreek Hill does.
Yeah. Derek Carr has confirmed that he is willing to unretire, but said it will take a special circumstance to lure him back to the playing field. Derek Carr, who, I mean, he was pretty adamant that he was not going to come back. But, and you know, he gave money back. He didn't, that was a kind of a cool story. He didn't take all of the guaranteed money, and I liked that side of it. Derek Carr, 34 years old, retired from the NFL back in May with the Saints. He had a tear and significant degenerative changes to his rotator cuff. But apparently he's feeling good now and would consider making the comeback. Adam Silver has some ideas on how to prevent tanking. One of them is to seriously consider abolishing the rookie draft and turning rookies into free agents. So when instead of going to the draft, Mike, you just sign on a team. And with the way the apron is, it's not like just one team could go get every hot market free agent. That's a really unique idea. I've heard people talk. I've never really brought this up and thought about it, but I've heard a lot of people suggest doing away with the draft altogether for all sports, specifically the NBA and maybe even the NFL. I think I would sign off on that.
I think that would be a great benefit for I never would have put credence into this idea, except, you know, last couple years seeing what the Browns and the Jets have done to quarterbacks, I honestly think this might be a good idea.
Well, in the NBA, the first thought would be, well, the rich are just going to get richer, but with the apron the way it is, you can't just go out. Odds are, if you're a good team that a rookie free agent wants to go to, odds are you're already paying dudes, and you couldn't afford a ton of exceptional rookies. So, and then there's also playing time. If you're a rookie who wants to sign like a, I don't know what it would be, like a 3-year deal, go to a bad team and get immediate playing time rather than sit on the bench your rookie year. And again, there's going to be your franchise-altering guys, but would they want to go to a place like Sacramento or Utah? The great teams and great markets can only get so many of them. That would be a wild idea. He also suggested some kind of, he loves tournaments, some kind of tournament for the teams that are out of the playoffs, playing for a draft pick.
I'd rather have that than the lottery.
That's gimmicky, though. And so is the lottery. The lottery's gimmicky. Now, my idea is the last team gets the second round pick, or second pick. The worst team, worst record, you get the second pick guaranteed. The first team out gets the number one pick. Incentivize them to keep playing. So even right now, on February 16th, when they all return to the All-Star from the All-Star break, and we're more than half of the way done with the season, you still have teams and coaches are managing their games in a way to set them up for getting a top-tier draft pick. I just appreciate that Adam Silver's talking about it. Instead of putting all the focus, now again, you're not going to get an Adam Silver conversation without a bunch of nonsense, you know, really getting into expansion. But he's at least talking about one of the issues that surrounds the NBA. And I also believe that he needs to spend more time talking about the in-game stuff, how these games are being officiated. We haven't heard him talk a lot about that, you know, star treatment, that kind of thing. I think those need to be discussed more. The way they're calling fouls, which is increasing the amount of three-point attempts or free throw shots, getting into the paint, look in foul hunting, kind of like a Shea does.
Are the officials in the NBA, are they union?
I believe so.
Okay, because I mean, if you run afoul of the union, like, you know, they are in the NFL. You got to be careful what you say about the referees, because they would love to strike.
Well, yeah, but they're also sitting down with the officials in meetings at the end of every season, and they're going through, you know, how they're calling games. Is there a discrepancy somewhere? Is there an issue? They have those conversations. I want Adam Silver to be focusing more on that rather than talking about the in-season tournament. I hate it. I don't like it at all, because again, it goes back to the venom. What's in it for the team? Are we getting a draft pick out of that? Maybe. Are you getting something extra? That's the only way you can make that thing worth it. So, yeah, I like the fact that he's making the rounds. He's a very open commissioner, I will say that. Like, he talks more than most. But it was just a bunch of nonsense that he would bring up most of the time.
Yeah, I also think the NBA is starting to come up with way too many gimmicks. I like the fact that he's going after tanking, because I hate that so much. And I would like to see him get after those babies. Like, I do want to see penalty, penalties thrown on wide receivers who are like, I was interfered with.
You keep sport jumping here. In the NBA, I think they need to be extremely strict. I think they should. If you complain once to the official, that's a warning. If you do it again in the same game, that's a technical foul. And they'll only do that if it's extreme. I think that you've noticed it more. Like, players are paying more attention to that, of how, like, as far as how they're perceived. And I mean, I've noticed it with Joker this year. He has complained a lot less. He was getting pretty complainy the last couple of years. He has complained a lot less this season.
Didn't you say he went in the offseason, he talked to the refs and said,
yes.
Hey,
yep.
What do I need to improve or something?
Yeah, and I think he said it in a press conference in training camp, and he just said, I'm going to focus really, you know, a lot on not complaining about fouls. Because, again, you see that with everybody. Even your favorite player, like Luka, is one of the most exciting players to watch. The guy complains about every foul call. And I think they have to do something to fix that.
And I think that also turns off not just, you know, fans.
Well, it kills
your
casual
fan. Referees.
It kills your casual fan, too. Because then you look at that and go, ah, they just complain the whole time. It hurts what you're right, though, when you're sport jumping. It does hurt the image of a wide receiver because they're always looking for the flag now. I mean, we didn't see that in the 90s as much.
Yeah, that
but
was
once
more
they started
of a...
calling more, now it's just, hey, there was contact, guy was too close, who was covering me pretty tight. Obviously, there's got to be a flag. They're looking for a bailout there.
I think if you're a wide receiver, if you're a basketball player, if you want that foul to be called, you have to talk to the official and you have to say, oh, hey, he's grabbing my arm, or, oh, yeah, hey, he's like hitting me a little hard. Like, you have to be more communicative. Complaining is just going to piss off the ref.
Isai Chris says, I like the no draft idea. Would there have to be like a 2-year deal, or would it be like a free agent contract? Could be an issue with, say, fourth or fifth year round guys. Fourth or fifth year round. There's only two rounds in the NBA draft, but obviously if you got rid of the draft, then, I mean, it'd be open season. You could sign tons of guys. Yeah, I think it would be like a 2-year deal. That would incentivize guys to maybe not just go for the big markets. That would incentivize them to, all right, I'll go to Utah. You know, I'll get paid pretty good money. I'll be a featured player there and play for 2 years, see how it goes.
The only knock against that is that whole night of drafting. How much of a moneymaker is that for the NBA? Is it as much of a moneymaker as the NFL draft?
No. I mean, Joker was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial.
Taco Bell paid big bucks for that spot.
For second round? Right? Not anything like the NFL's first round. The NBA draft, even the first round, is probably more like the NFL's day two. You know, it's just, you care about the first five picks or whatever, but it fades pretty quickly. So I'm sure if they're smart, they would come up with some kind of way to make that like a draft day. And then you're just announcing the signings and things like that. I'm sure they would come up with that.
Or, you know, maybe, you know, the first guy to sign is this. The second guy to sign is this.
I guess when I look at what's the biggest problem in the NBA, why don't you watch the NBA? It's flopping, right?
Yeah, flopping and divas.
And so tanking is an issue. It's not the biggest issue. And again, Nuggets fans, we haven't had to worry about that for quite some time now. I mean, I don't think Nuggets fans have had to worry about tanking since before Carmelo Anthony was here. Because they were a playoff team during Melo's run. They were still a playoff team even after they traded Melo. It was when they fired George Karl and then hired Brian Shaw. That was the toughest time for Nuggets fans. But that was only, what, 2 years? And they weren't really in a tanking mode at that point. And then with Michael Malone, it was every year just got a little bit better. So, you know, we haven't dealt with that for a while. So I'm sure a fan base of those teams that are pretty regularly at the bottom of the barrel are frustrated with tanking. It's interesting, man. And hats off to Adam Silver for at least addressing one of the issues. I do think in-game officiating and complaining is definitely something that plagues the NBA. I think it turns off a casual fan, even a diehard fan. Because I've had several fans tell me they don't really watch the NBA. They just watch the Nuggets. They just like to watch Joker. I've heard a lot of sports guys say that.
Oh, you would. Like, I can guarantee you would talk about Joker differently if he was a whiner.
He's a whiner.
No, I mean, if he was like more than he used to be. Like, I know you said he was always, you know, complaining about it, but if he was LeBron level whiny,
yeah,
you would not respect him like you do.
Antics. I've seen some antics, honestly, from almost all of them. It's just like the wide receiver thing. Once you start seeing guys complain, they all kind of do it. They're begging for those calls, those bailout calls. But Joker's toned it down quite a bit, especially this season. It's something I think they need to just be strict with. I think that's one of the biggest issues. That's probably the biggest issue in the NBA. And I'd like to see Adam Silver talk a little bit more about that one, too. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, we got Sean Keeler wrote up a nice piece in the Denver Post, depending on who you ask, about the whole Coach Prime thing. Who was the former tight end we were talking about? Christian
Okoye?
Fiore? How do you say it?
I don't remember.
Well, you corrected me Friday when I said it wrong.
Fourier?
Is that? Anyway, I want to get to that and some of Keeler's thoughts on the Coach Prime thing. This is a big season for the Colorado Buffaloes, man. A monster season. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
News and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Greeley, if you need a little lift up right now, City of Greeley's Lift Up program is here to help now through May 31st. One easy application could put money back into your pocket. Qualified residents may receive up to $100 from the low income and food tax rebate, plus $150 credited to your water utility bill. Real help for food and utilities when it matters most. You can apply at greeleyco.gov/lift-up or call 970-350-9748, giving Greeley a boost. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Christian Fourier, is it Fourier? Is that how we're saying? Because I've heard
that's
it.
What I always thought it
okay.
was.
Okay. Well, so it's interesting to note, because Keeler noted this in the Denver Post, Mike, and I missed this on Friday. His son, Caleb, was a tight end at CU from 2020 to 2023, a member of Coach Prime's first Buffs team. Now, what he said on a podcast last week, the Zach Gelb show, he said, "I'm not a fan of the coach at CU. I'm not. I'll never be a fan of the coach. I love the school, and this isn't me picking on Deion Sanders because I picked on Joe Gibbs. The worst coach I ever had was Joe Gibbs." So me picking on Deion Sanders is nothing. I just don't like the way he coaches football. I don't think he's very bright. I don't think he can manage a game. I think there's a lot of flash, but there's no substance. And he's got a lot of people brainwashed. So he was asked about, hey, does this have something to do with the fact that your son was obviously playing for Deion Sanders and then ultimately transferred to Delaware? He said, my son has absolutely nothing to do with it. Everyone wants to kind of make that be the reason I'm critical, almost to rationalize it for themselves. There's no way he can say this on his own. It's tough because he sounds pretty burnt, man. Like, he questioned the man's intelligence. Like, say what you will. I've had some positive things to say about Coach Prime. I've had some negative things to say about Coach Prime. I've never once said the man is dumb or he's not very bright, is what Foria said, is that he's not very bright.
He elaborated.
He said, I did not mean to imply Deion Sanders lacks intelligence overall. As a marketer and self-promoter, he's a genius. He built an empire around his name and created a real revenue stream that benefits his entire family, especially his kids. That's extraordinary and worth admiring. If you evaluate him strictly as a football coach, the guy who's paid to be an expert in the game itself, you know, all those details that win or lose games on Saturdays, all be polite and non-confrontational, I'd call that part of his profile a developmental need. He went scorched earth. He went scorched earth on Coach Prime. I mean, that's some of the more harsh criticism we've heard. The question is he right? Coach Prime's record right now would lead you to believe he's more right than he is wrong. He's been there 3 years now. He had one really good season. The other two were really bad.
Some of his decision-making makes Christian Fourier look kind of right.
He struggled with timeouts, when to call timeouts. I mean, he's had some of those Nathaniel Hackett-type moments where you're left at the end of the game going, wait, you had two timeouts left. And then his explanation after the fact, I can't remember the game, one of the games in question, but a lot of times his explanations aren't great. I mean, Mike, he was asked about building up a team culture, and he said he didn't believe in that. You know, he didn't get that. He fired it back to reporters and said, what does that even mean? We don't have, like, a culture. So, I mean, he has said a few things that certainly leave you scratching your head. Because he talks a lot, man. When he sits down in front of that microphone, he is never one to not give you something.
Right now, I am leaning more Christian Fourier camp than I am Team Prime camp.
Do you think that it has something to do with the fact that his son played for the Buffs and clearly didn't enjoy his time playing for the Buffs, so he transferred?
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, if the evidence is more on Deion is not a great coach. I'm sure he's very smart. I don't think he's a dumb person, but I think football-wise, he's more instinct than he is, you know, playbook. Like, he was just always able to play on instinct. Very football intelligent, but as far as coaching, I just don't see it. I don't see him as an X's and O's guy.
We'll see what this... And he hired former Sacramento State head coach Brennan Marion as their OC. And they're bringing over a lot of Sac State players. Marion has been, I think, a different location almost every year since he's been in football. So I'll be really curious to see how that one works. He's going to be judged on that. If their offense is bad again this year, he's certainly going to be judged on that move. I just don't know if there's like a real timeline of pressure on Coach Prime. I mean... You got a new athletic director, so that certainly changes things. But he does, we keep saying he brings in the money, right? But they're at a deficit right now. We've read professors, we've read comments from professors that are frustrated with the money being taken out of different areas of that school being put into the football program. At some point, this is going to run out. Now, he's going to wear out his welcome, which we didn't think was possible 2 years ago.
I thought he'd be bringing in more money. He brought in a bunch of students.
He brings in money, but they're paying him a lot of money. They probably gave him a lot of money for assistant coaches. So, and obviously they go deep into the transfer portal every single year. And that's only getting more expensive to bring these guys in. And he's losing big name players. He has lost a few big name players. And that, all those things start to add up where this season, I can't believe it, because I thought for sure this guy's going to get like, he's going to have like three bad years in a row. Like, I'm talking three win type years in a row for anybody that's really deep involved over there at Colorado to put any kind of realistic pressure on him.
He could have a 6-win season, but if we start getting more red flags, because we're getting a lot of red flags. For this level of red flags, he's got to win 9 games.
Yeah, they've got to be. Well, and for the money, we went through that last week. He's like top 10 or around top 10 of highest paid college football coaches. I mean, I think he's just south of $10 million. You for that kind of money going into year 4, you expect to be at least in the conversation of winning a conference title. Not winning. How many games did they win last year? 4? It was bad. Charles Johnson, former Buffs quarterback, also talked to Sean Keeler. And I like what he said. He's like, I don't know anyone who's just kind of ho-hum on Coach Prime. There's no fence riding when it comes to Coach Prime. You either love the guy or you can't stand the guy. And I will argue a little bit because I feel like I'm that person. I feel like one day I'm like, yeah, you know, I think he's good. I like what he had to say here. And then the next, you see a story like the Sean Keeler stuff, how they treated him, how they treated like a CBS sports reporter. That's a cartoon show, man. That's a joke. That kind of stuff is a joke. He won't talk to certain reporters if they're a part of a network that's ever said anything somewhat negative about him.
I feel like you're more on the fence than I am. I'm not a complete hater, but I'm more on that side of the fence.
When he was first hired, I was all in. I thought, wow, they just got a big time. We're going to start seeing this as a trend in college football, where you just go hire. So, and again, he has some substance, like what he did before he got to Colorado. He was good. And I thought, okay, this is going to change college football. The guy, you're going to start hiring former players that were really popular and bringing those guys over, maybe even if they don't have a ton of experience at the FBS level. And so I was all in at that point. And then it was, I'm trying to think of when it started. It might have been the CU game or CSU game. It was obviously leading up to that. And then I did my prediction and all that stuff. And the Prime fans were just kind of weird. The Norvell thing was odd. He took that so personal, and it just seemed so immature, Mike. When Jay Norvell, at his own coach's show, which those things are designed to rally your fans, he said, when I talk to adults, I take off my hat and I take off my glasses. And I even thought that was so weird that Jay, I didn't hate what Jay said. I mean, if we're adding a little extra juice to these games, great. I almost thought it was made up, like because that game meant nothing, Mike. Nobody cared about CU CSU. Nobody. I remember Bleacher Report coming out 10 years ago saying it's time for the annual Who Cares Bowl between CSU and CU. So there was a part of me that almost wondered if maybe Jay and Coach Prime were like, let's add a little to this. That was clearly not the case. Coach Prime's response after the game when they went to shake hands, and you hear Shedeur Sanders tell his dad, don't put hands on him, standing there almost in between the two, and Jay just went up. You can say what you want about Jay Norvell. He's a respectable dude, respectful dude. And he goes up and he shakes Coach Prime's hand and says, hey, for the record, man, I wasn't talking about your mom. And what did Coach Prime say? Yes, you were. Yes, you were. You were talking about my mom. Jay probably doesn't even know Coach Prime's mom. Because he said, my mom taught me that when you talk to an adult, you take your glasses and your hat off or whatever. That stuff is, I don't know. I didn't like how Coach Prime handled that. And then he just started to get some more things. I thought in the game before that, the year before that, we remember the Henry Blackburn hit on Travis Hunter. Now, Coach Prime handled that fine, but it felt like it was Travis Hunter first. Like, he had to go out and say, no, he was just making a football play. It was Travis Hunter that invited, because Henry Blackburn was receiving death threats. This was awful. And Coach Prime kind of tried to put the fire out, but not in a way that you should when you have a player receiving death threats. There was a lot of misinformation coming out because there was a player at his school, at his high school, that got into trouble. And a bunch of people were saying that that was Henry Blackburn, which was false. This got to the point where it was kind of borderline dangerous. I think Henry had to change his phone. His address was suddenly, his family's address was blasted. And it was Travis Hunter who reached out and organized this bowling thing to show that they were boys, they were friends. And I didn't think Coach Prime really handled that well. I didn't like the Sean Keeler stuff. Because Sean Keeler has written a few articles that are negative about him. This one right here is not really a negative article about Coach Prime. I mean, he mentions a few things, but he does kind of go into more of a, I don't think it's fair to call Coach Prime not that bright. That's more the article. But Keeler has written things negatively about Coach Prime, and that pissed him off.
I agree with you shouldn't call him not that bright. But I think calling him more of a better player than coach,
he has,
saying he's a more instinctual guy than an X's and O's guy, That's
well,
a better
Christian,
way to say it.
He had a son that played under him. So my mind goes to the son, the players, who would know more than the players of how this coach is. And the player probably came to dad at the end of it and said, I don't like his coaching style. I mean, he probably got a lot of that inside information from him. And Christian's probably still well connected in the world of CU, being a Super Bowl champ and a, you know, tight end in the NFL for as long as he was. I would imagine so. So you do wonder if it's a little sour grapes. He, of course, said, no, my son has nothing to do with it. He said, as a proud CU alum who just wants the Buffs to win big and stay relevant for the right reasons, I hope Sanders proves me dead wrong. I hope he shuts everybody up, builds something unstoppable in Boulder, and rubs it in my face. If he does, I'll be the first one out front saying, job well done, coach, and give him credit. Until then, for the love of Bill McCartney, learn the blanking fight song.
I hope he he rubs it in my face, too. By the way, their fight song is probably a ripoff from Navy's fight song.
Okay.
I'd throw that out there.
I'll read some texts coming up next, 43 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Also, I didn't like the retiring Shedeur Sanders' number. Like, what are we doing, man? Travis Hunter was a Heisman winner. That one is 100% good. But when the Buffs don't have so many other great players recognized, and then you just throw him out there who had a pretty good 2 years with the Buffs, but one bad year and one good year, I guess.
Sounds like nepotism to me.
Yeah. You said, Chris, I think Christian Fourier can also have a say as he played respectably for CU. No, yeah, you can. Yeah, sure. Just don't expect to ever say anything to Coach Prime. If you ever attend as a media member, he will not be able to ask a question. You know, that's...
He might actually be removed by security.
Keeler was never removed, but they will not let him ask. There's a guy that stands next to Keeler, at least it was two seasons ago, that when Keeler goes to ask something, the guy kind of taps him. Like, what are you doing? Nope. No questions. And that was very, to me, that was handled really poorly. Big Hub says, I would love to see CU versus CSU now. I don't know who's winning that game. I have no idea. We don't know about them. They're all new. 49 minutes after the hour, Mike. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Coming up in about a month, we're going to set up for our March Madness watch parties. The Thursday, the 19th, I believe, will be at Big City Roadhouse right around 10 o'clock. They're going to open up a little extra early for us so we can go hang out, watch basketball. So we're asking hooligans, we're asking listeners of the station to come out and hang out at the best restaurant in Northern Colorado. That's Big City Roadhouse. We might even bring Michael along. Just a meet and greet kind of thing. You get to meet Michael. Wow, you are lucky. Not you. People would be lucky to meet you.
And this Friday, or is it Saturday, they will have Girl Scout cookies outside of Big City Roadhouse.
Okay. Thank you. You were so excited about this.
I was. Like Friday. I was very excited.
Like, hey, I got something when you mentioned Big City Roadhouse. I gotta talk about it. You just talk about Girl Scout cookies for like 4 days in a row now.
They have the best cookies.
Yeah.
Do-si-dos, like, tag-alongs.
Go support the Scouts, sure, but the cookies are whatever.
Oh, don't. That's offensive.
They're not that great. They're not that good. They're overrated.
$12.55
the time.
Terrible thing.
Buy or sell coming up. Man, I just saw this. Some sad news. Robert Duvall has passed away. Oh, my God. Lonesome Dove. Secondhand Lions. I mean, some amazing things he was in. We'll talk a little bit about that. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.